You are listening to the Two and Out CFL Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
And thanks for pressing play on this episode of Two and Out with Travis Curra and Sheldon Jones. Yeet.
Yeet.
Look at those shades, man. Those are awesome.
Homemade. Because WWE doesn't sell them.
Your art skills are incredible, man.
They're not incredible, but it's decent. Decent at best.
Now, we're almost 2 weeks removed from WrestleMania 40, and we don't need to go. It's not a wrestling podcast. There are some wrestling fans that listen. There are also some wrestling detractors that listen, but I think it would be good just to talk about the trip with you. You know what, man? I think it was 2020. My buddies and I decided to have that COVID WrestleMania watch party on Zoom. I put the call out on Twitter to see if anybody would like to join us. And you were the only one that ended up joining us. So we've become pretty fast friends since then. I can't believe that was 4 years ago. But the most we've ever really spent together in person was a few hours at a football game.
But even before that, we hadn't met before that. Like, we didn't do labor until the year after, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah.
Probably Labor Day 2021, something like that. I don't really know. But we traveled together to the city of brotherly love. And I don't want to speak for you, but I had a... I think it's a great city. Like, going into it, I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever go to Philly again. But now I'm like, if there's a chance, I think I want to go to Philly again. Now, after the first 3 days of those Philly cheesesteaks, I think that's what everybody really wants to hear about. They
are so good.
I think that they live up to the hype. What do you think?
100% they do. And, like, we didn't even go to the tourist trap places. We went to the ones that you did a lot of research for all the places, and I'm very appreciative of that. But, like, honestly, there was one that I didn't, like, it was the worst, but it was still delicious. So, like, it's not like there was a bad cheesesteak.
It's like the worst of the good, you know? Like,
Yeah.
I think what blew me away about them is, like, they don't cheap out on anything.
No.
Every cheesesteak you get is probably a pound and a half.
Yeah, they didn't come with any sides because you don't need a side.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of like, where are the fries here? But no.
Well, that first night when we had the cheese fries and I think you had the onion rings, those were very good. But yeah, no, the cheesesteaks were amazing. Philadelphia was awesome. Like, I'm glad we were in the old Philadelphia because we got to see a lot of the old cool stuff about, like, you know, the founding fathers of America and all that stuff. But honestly, the only thing that I didn't like about the trip were the bus drivers. That's it.
That is very fair. they do not care. Like,
no.
I think sometimes they just, oh, I'm not stopping for these guys, and they just keep going.
I literally didn't get stopped for when I was going to the airport on the way home. Like, the bus literally drove right by me, and then I got to sit with a gentleman who was very nice, but, you know, I had to decline the three times he offered me crack, but very nice.
He was polite.
He was very polite. He was a good guy. The one bus driver that, like, growled at you when you...
Yeah, does this go to so-and-so street?
Just straight growl. The one bus driver who sat there for, like, 45 minutes after SmackDown when we were
in the
ready
morning
to go to bed. And then just saunters over and then, again, growls at people. Like...
So,
but everyone else was so nice. The people there were so nice.
We weren't wearing Cowboys jerseys, so that helps.
No.
Leaving Philadelphia, in line for security. I don't know if he had the same guy, if he was there yet, but he had this whole speech. If you're wearing a Cowboys jersey, you're at the wrong airport.
No.
And no, this is like the TSA guy.
I got to the airport. I think my flight only left a half hour earlier than yours, but for some reason I felt like I had to be there a lot earlier than you thought you'd have to be there. And yeah, no, I got there way too early because I ended up just lifting there instead of taking the bus. And but still, I only made it to my gate like 20 minutes before boarding. So,
oh,
like there was already quite the lineup when I got there. Wow. After the Air Canada. The Air Canada agents were terrible there, too. They were very unprofessional. but I think overall, 98% amazing. We did a lot. We did a lot. And there was a lot of stuff that we weren't able to do as well, which is just crazy about all the stuff that's there. But, like, it was my favorite trip I've ever been on. I'm glad I was there with you and Taylor. Wish Tammy would have been able to come. I wish, like, I think it would have been definitely way too much wrestling for her, but I think she would have really enjoyed the stuff that we did. But, like, doing those entrances together and like, WWE World was awesome. It was expensive to go, but I think it was actually worth it. Like, seeing all the stuff in there and, you know, just walking randomly and Carmelo Hayes is there and Sean Spears and, like, it was awesome. And we couldn't have asked for a better WrestleMania. The weather could have been a little better the first night. It was pretty cold. But
as CFL fans, like I'm sure there's a lot of listeners of the show that have been to cold games, and it wasn't to that level, but I think it was just the wind. Like, well, and also, I don't think we had room in our bags to take our CFL outdoor gear. Otherwise, we probably would have been okay. But that northeast wind, I mean, that was brutal. Because when we got to Philly, it was just a downpour, pouring rain. There were coastal flood warnings, all kind of stuff going on. And I was worried it was going to be like that all week. Thankfully, it didn't rain at WrestleMania itself. But that wind was cutting. I don't know how the guys wrestled in that. I feel like that would be pretty tough. Easy to pull a quad or a hammy in that kind of cold wrestling kind of thing. But you're right. Like, we did a lot of historical stuff. Like, we went to the City Hall and went up the clock tower there. The iconic view of that skyline in Philadelphia, 570 feet up in this tiny little elevator. We had to get quite intimate to get up there. And but that was so cool. And we did a tour of this old abandoned jail, Eastern State Penitentiary. Al Capone stayed there at one point. We of course, did the Rocky Steps. We did Independence Hall, where they signed the Declaration of Independence.
We ran up the Rocky Steps.
Yes, we did.
We ran up them.
We did run up the Rocky Steps. And then some guy hustled us and said, hey, I'll take your picture, and then demanded money afterwards. Yeah. That guy's pretty smart. You toured around the neighborhood seeing some of the old stuff relating to Alexander Hamilton. Like, there's so much history in Philadelphia, a city that used to be the capital of the United States, I think for like 10 years or something like that. But it's a pretty darn cool city. The food scene is fantastic. On the last day, I know it's not for traditionalists, but I had a buffalo chicken cheesesteak. Man, I know there was some blue cheese, which isn't your thing on there, but that thing was dynamite. And yeah, so much wrestling. We went to a show at the ECW Arena. We went to the Hall of Fame, WWE.
Can I get World. A, oh yeah?
Oh yeah, WrestleMania, SmackDown, Raw. Taylor and I were pretty rattled after Cody Rhodes finished the story. You were pretty happy about that. But I think all in all, just a fantastic trip to the City of Brotherly Love. And yeah, it's not CFL related at all, although you wore rider gear for much of the weekend. We both warmed the Raw after WrestleMania, and there was a couple woo Saskatchewans thrown your way, Sheldon.
A couple, yeah. Not as much as I thought, honestly. Like when I was in Mexico on a cruise once, there was way more. So it just was kind of, I thought it'd be a lot more, but I think a lot of people just thought I was wearing Eagles stuff with an S on it for some reason.
Yeah.
But.
And then, for me, there was a Saskatchewan reference at the Hall of Fame, and you went whoop whoop, and you were heard all across all wrestling nations. So, it was fantastic. It was.
I got told I could should stop waving when the camera was on me by the one Brazilian tie.
And you know what? That finale to WrestleMania with Cena, The Undertaker, coming out. That was a blast.
When the gong went off, that was incredible. Like, wow.
Yeah. We had a blast, and man, I want to do it again, but I'm still paying it off. If we'll be paying that. The exchange rate did us no favors.
Luckily, I have a good banker.
Speaking of bankers, I think we can transition to football. So no yeet. The sunglasses come off. Do kids actually say yeet? Or is that a wrestling thing?
Well,
I don't know if there are any 13-year-olds.
The one kid, when he was asked, he said it was a dab, but it wasn't a dab. But
I don't know if there are any 13-year-olds that listen to Two and Out that can answer this. But
yeah, that, if there is, drop a comment on YouTube.
Because I feel like I'm like just the old guy trying to hang on to his youth and be cool when I say it, but
yeet.
I'm okay with that. Back to the bankers, three teams ended up going over the salary cap in at 2023. And that's the Hamilton Tiger Cats, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and the BC Lions. None of them Grey Cup champions, as you will note. So they get fined the amount that they went over the salary cap. If you go over 100K over, then you start to get penalized with the draft picks changing around and things like that. But the Tie Cats, they went like $2,600 over the cap. The Bombers were like $26K. And the Lions, I think they were between $70 and $80K over the salary cap. So they get fined and we move along into 2024. And I guess there have been some significant...
All teams should do it. Sorry, all teams
might
should
as well.
Do it.
I mean, the Tie Cats, like $2,500 over, like...
Yeah, but honestly, if you're just going to get fined dollar for dollar and you can get like that extra player or that extra signing bonus for the next year, just do it. Like, it's not, you're not going to lose a draft pick. You're not going to, like, I don't know. I think every team should spend as much as they can.
Might as well go 99K over and,
yeah,
but then you could screw up the math too. Which is probably what happened with Hamilton. $2,600 bucks when you're dealing with $5.5 million. I mean,
somebody just had a bonus that they weren't expecting, probably.
Yeah, that's like the practice footballs, basically, you know. So yeah, that's how that works. There have been a lot of retirements this offseason, Sheldon, and I think a lot of these guys were stars in the CFL during a very, I guess, formative time for me as a fan. So seeing sort of my first generation of just being a diehard fan step away from the game has certainly been interesting. Andrew Harris signs that one-day contract and retires a Winnipeg Blue Bomber. I actually kind of wondered if this was ever going to happen. But then I remembered... When you win the Grey Cup against that team that let you go the very next year, I think maybe those hard feelings go away a little bit. But Andrew Harris, certainly a controversial player, I understand, but one of the best Canadians that the game has ever seen, one of the best running backs the game has ever seen, especially those years when he went from BC to Winnipeg, and there were some lean years in Winnipeg, and like the entire offense went through him, the amount of carries injuries and punishment he went through for a couple of years before they finally won the Grey Cup in 2019. Those were some great years from number 33 in Manitoba.
Yeah, I guess he needed a little help with the recovery too.
Hey, look, I don't blame him for that. If I had a line on that stuff.
Just still waiting on that proof, though. We are still waiting on that proof that it was a tainted, that it was tainted.
We might be waiting a while for that one.
The only thing tainted is his reputation.
And just for the Ticats fan that gave me crap for not talking about Simone enough, great career. I love Simone. I'm a Simone guy. We've given him love so many times on the show. But I guess that one day when he announced his retirement wasn't quite enough, Sheldon.
I guess not.
So we'll do it every episode for the remainder of the year. Thank you, number 21. Here you go.
There you go, 21.
On the camera, that showed up as 12. So there you go. Now, Sean Lemon has retired, and it was talked about so much last year for obvious reasons. One of the most important pickups, well, maybe the most important transaction of last year, was when Sean Lemon was on the sidelines. And crazy, crazy thing. It looked like maybe he was going to go back to Calgary. But Montreal grabs him. Then Calgary has injuries on the D-line, and it worked out for Montreal because the last half of the season, the Lemonator was fresh. He's making, didn't he score his first career touchdown during the last half of last year? It kind of lit a fire in that defense for the Alouettes. They had some playmakers, some real veteran leadership on that side of the ball, and it carried them all the way to the Grey Cup. Now, he did sign a one-year contract to remain with the Owls in December, but he gave some time to think about it. He's stepping away, and in his career, 101 sacks, 3 interceptions, 30 forced fumbles, and that returned fumble recovery for a touchdown, including 237 tackles in his CFL career. Hey, we have been blessed, I think. I talk about, you know, the formative time that I've had as a fan and watching these guys retire. I think we've been blessed with watching some of the best pass rushers in CFL history over the last decade, decade and a half. And Sean Lemon is definitely one of them, with triple-digit sacks in his career.
Yeah, and when you're getting this close to the end of the career, when you win a Grey Cup, I'm pretty sure that's got to be tough to be like, hey, can I top that? Because, yeah, you can go back and play one more year, but you're risking a lot. You're risking injury. You're risking, you know, looking like you lose a step. When you can make that impact, especially when you were overlooked and not signed, when, like, he was on the top 50 players from the year before on TSN, and then he wasn't even signed. So I think he kind of was able to give his, like, FU moment to the league, and he won a ring, and then, yeah, now he retires on top. Hell of a career. Double two-time rider. It didn't work out either time he was here, but
either time, you
know, that's how it works. That's how it works.
Speaking of the riders, I thought maybe Logan Bandy did have maybe
not some, nice.
Some promise.
This is not nice. Not nice.
24 years old, retiring from the CFL, and I thought maybe stepped in at center in some pretty tough circumstances for that Rough Rider offensive line, and I think improved and grew in that short time. But 24 years old, stepping away from the CFL, I feel like that's becoming kind of a common thing in the league. Guys stepping away while they feel okay. They got their kind of wits about them, and at a very young age, not playing football anymore.
It's happening a lot with O-linemen in Saskatchewan the past few years. Like, I don't know, like, I get it, but also at the same time, he was, you could probably say he was a bubble guy last year. He came in when there was some injury stuff, and And honestly, the Riders have improved their O-line quite a bit. They've signed a couple veterans, and they have a couple other players like Zur and
Yeah.
a couple other guys who are going to be those new bubble guys. And so maybe Bandy is just like, hey, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to make the team, and instead of, getting cut and going through all that, just retire. Maybe he's got a good career ready to go, and he got to live out his dream, play professional football, and now he gets to go on to the next chapter of his life.
And we'll stay with Rough Rider news for just a little bit here because former NFL receiver Chase Claypool has been added to the Rough Rider nag list. What do you think the chances are we ever see him in the CFL? Now, his first season, I believe he was a rookie with Pittsburgh. He scored several touchdowns, man. He did very well, but then kind of fell off a little bit after that. Do you think we'll ever see him here?
I really don't, but maybe. Like, it's hard to say. Like, if he, it seemed like he wasn't motivated enough to play in the NFL to be able to keep going. And when you have the potential to make millions of dollars and you're not
Yeah.
motivated enough, can you be motivated to make, $80,000 the first couple of years coming up here? I don't know if that's like good for the Riders, I guess, to put him on your nag list in case he's coming here, but if I was the Riders, I would trade that Negla spot because one, receiver is not really an area that the Riders need to look at, especially Canadian receivers right now, I don't think. And two, like when Coach Mace came here, he said that he was looking for lunch pail type players who are going to be, working hard for their job. And Chase Claypool doesn't seem like the kind of guy that that's his MO. So, I don't know. The Rough Riders signed Vince Young once, so who knows what's going to happen. But I if he comes to the CFL, I don't think it'd be with the Riders. I think this may be just a little way for them to get into the news, maybe. I don't know. I should have asked Jeremy when I was on the flight with him, but I didn't.
Sheldon shared a flight to Toronto with Jeremy O'Day. GM of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Chase Claypool, 62 catches, 873 yards, 9 touchdowns in his rookie season with the Steelers. So obviously, quite the impact early in his NFL career. And then the next year, he had 860 yards, 59 catches, 2 touchdowns, another nice year. In 2021 and 2022, he actually had back-to-back years, 6.9 yards a carry.
Nice.
When they gave him the rush. Now, I guess we'll talk about just briefly your flight with Jeremy O'Day because when you landed in Toronto, I think you guys simultaneously got the news on your phone that Jim Hobson had passed away, Sheldon.
Yeah, it was it honestly, we both landed. I could tell that we were both turning our airplane mode off, and I saw the text, and I saw his head kind of just go like this out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, yeah, he just saw the same thing that I just saw. And you could tell, like, there was quite a it's the Toronto airport, it takes quite a ways to get to the actual gate once you land. And so you could tell he was struggling with it, and it's tough because I didn't want to be that guy, right? I'd say something right away, or I introduced myself when I first got on the plane, but I could tell he was working as well as jamming out to some sort of hip hop or something he's listening to. But he had this big binder with him; he was working, so I didn't want to bug him during the flight or anything like that. But once we were walking up the jet bridge, like he came right behind me, and I just turned. I was like, "Hey, I obviously just read what you read, and I'm really sorry." And he's like, "Yeah, this is not the news I was looking to see when I landed on that plane." I was like, "Yeah, no, I know." But you could just tell that it affected him because it affected us all. All Rider fans, owe a debt to Jim Hobson because he was one of the guys who was there to turn this whole thing around.
Yeah, he
So.
73 years old after battling with colon cancer, And he actually played for the team in the 70s as an O-lineman. And then he was the team's first ever full-time president hired in 2004. And he was in that role for a decade, which was a very important time in Rough Rider history. The Grey Cup in 07, the first one since 89. The Grey Cup at home in 2013. And I'm sure that those two Grey Cups and that era of Rough Rider football in Saskatchewan was... would probably still be at Taylor Field if that doesn't go down. And I know there are fans that miss Taylor Field, but seeing that stadium in Regina is an icon and I think something to be proud of. And I think that is going to be one of his legacies. And also they named, was it the media room after him before his passing?
I think it was the player meeting room, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
That was really nice when they had a video of him going in there and his family was there. And so, you know, a lot of times that happens to somebody after they've passed where somebody gets, you know, something named after them. But I think it was really cool that they did that before because he was able to cherish that. And you could tell he did because he bled green for the Riders. He took them from when they were the lovable losers, and he changed that culture there, and it started with when they hired Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett, and then that, you know, reached its peak, and maybe it was a peak of mediocrity, but it was still a peak of we were actually winning games, as opposed to when we weren't, and then, you know, brought in Eric Tillman, and that all happened. But Eric Tillman built quite the team with Kent Austin. And then after that, bringing in Chamberlain again, too. So he was there through three regimes, which is not that common for a team president, actually, if you think about it. But he was that voice of calm and on the side. And he was always there on the sidelines. And, man, I'm getting a little emotional here because I met him numerous times and he was always nice and took the time to talk to every fan that wanted to, and we lost a good one.
A member of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame class of 2015 is Jim Hopson. Now we'll talk about one more on the field note. Devontae Williams of the Ottawa Redblacks, running back, got his first 1,000-yard season last year. 1,002 yards, 5.5 yards a carry, tears his Achilles. Training in the offseason. Just a brutal blow to him, to the Red Blacks. I really thought that obviously he was going to be a big part of that offense, making more changes with the Red Blacks going into 2024, but now they're going to have to be going with, I guess, not a rookie in football, but a CFL rookie going into this year. It's just brutal to see. 27 years old, not going to be on the field in 2024 for the Red Blacks.
Yeah, it's tough. A couple years ago as a Rider fan, I saw three people get injured their Achilles all in the same day in the same practice.
Yeah, really common now, it seems.
It is, and I don't know if it's this turf, if places turf needs to be replaced. I'm not sure. But especially Achilles can happen anytime. They can be non-contact. They can, for some reason, the Achilles is such a strong... strong joint, strong tendon, but it can just snap in the blink of an eye, and it's brutal because, as you said, he was coming off a great season, a 1,000-yard season, and Ottawa, those fans need something to cheer about, and losing your starting running back, that's not good. So hopefully this next man up mentality, and hopefully, you know, whoever whoever wins the job out of training camp, because obviously it's going to be a competition now. So whoever can win that job, hopefully they can have success, and then hopefully, you know, Deadman can get back next year and not lose a step.
Now, some off the field stuff that's going to be going on this year. The Montreal Alouettes announcing that they're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of their 1974 Grey Cup championship when they host Edmonton on August 25th. I'm looking forward to seeing the uniforms that they wear that day. Mm-hmm. The press release included that old logo that they wore actually in the middle of their helmet mm-hmm. back then. I'm looking to see what these look like. Now, back in 2010, they wore something like that against the Riders. So we'll see what they look like this summer, those reigning Grey Cup champs. We got news that Wally Buono is going to be added to the Wall of Fame in Calgary, the first addition to that Wall of Fame in quite some time. You can see his bobblehead over my my shoulder as a BC Lion legend, a CFL legend, and well-deserved honor from the Calgary Stampeders. We do know who the voice of the Riders is going to be in this upcoming season. It is
officially
Dave Thomas. Yes, officially. He's from Weyburn. He's covered junior hockey, junior football, WHL hockey. He's got quite the resume when it comes to sports in Saskatchewan. And also Justin Dunk is going to be doing the pre- and post-game show for Rider radio broadcasts. I think that Rider fans and Bomber fans are very spoiled when it comes to the coverage of their teams on the radio. I enjoy listening to the pre- and post-game shows for both teams, so please do not take it for granted. No. I'm looking forward to hearing this content in the upcoming season, Sheldon.
Me too, and I only say official because the Riders never officially announced or recognized Ballsy as their play-by-play guy. So that's why I had to say is actually interesting that now it is official.
Yeah. But
having Dunk there, Dunk is going to be, I think, awesome on the call-in shows because I don't think he's going to let those people who, you know, call in and drunk and are saying It'll stupid stuff. I don't think he's going to let them fly. I think he's going to.
I want to see how this goes.
Back to them a little bit. Yeah, no, I'm excited.
Did you see that Greg Marshall is back in the? Well, there's two Greg Marshalls that have been known as Canadian football coaches, but the one that looks a little more like Sergeant Slaughter.
Well, let's just hope he's worked on his motivation techniques. But he didn't think it was his job to be a motivation when he was coaching the Riders.
Defensive line coach. What was his record? Like 0-8? Oh, 1-7. 1-7. That was my first year as a season ticket holder in Saskatchewan.
Oof.
Rough. He's a D-line coach with Ottawa. Now, shout out to Hank Burris. He's been hired by Florida A&M to be an assistant coach. So his coaching career has got a pretty good trajectory right now. That's
all over the map.
Yeah, that's a pretty good gig for smiling Hank. Now, I don't think we can seriously have a CFL podcast without talking about Chad Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on here. Things have been really quiet. Nathan Rourke coming out. We know his profile. Talking about how he's disappointed in the CFL. And disappointed is a lot harsher than angry. You never want.
Yeah, you never want to be told that you're disappointed. No.
Now, and then Chad Kelly on Twitter. Caitlin Clark gets drafted in the WNBA, her contract details are released, and he quotes it saying, "That's CFL money," which isn't he making 600K this year? I don't know. I was going through his Twitter, and some of that stuff looked like he was hacked, really. Like, is this the MOP, the star of the CFL going forward? This is what he's putting out there? It's not a good look, man.
It's not. And he's, when he says a stupid comment like that's CFL money, he's biting the hand that feeds him. And he could be, you know, doing something else back home in Buffalo, not making $600,000 a year. So I agree with Nathan Rourke. I'm disappointed with what the CFL, or how the CFL has handled this, and the Argos especially, because I get this, at least the CFL said they're doing an investigation. The Argos, Pinball hasn't said absolutely anything about this. And, you know, it would have been just easy for them to suspend Murphy, suspend Kelly, both with pay until pending the investigation, pending this lawsuit. But like, when you say nothing and training camp's less than a month away, like, I don't know, man. It's innocent until proven guilty. I get that. And I get that it's not a criminal trial and all that stuff, but it's a bad look. And especially when the CFL is highlighting that they care about women and they want women in their workforce. And then you have, and I don't believe Arash Madani farther than I can throw him, but when he comes out with things saying that the CFL released a very tone-deaf memo in interior and then some women resigned, if that is true, that's terrible. And they need to figure this out quick.
It's frustrating because it looked like we were onto a new era of CFL football, a positive era, great Grey Cups, great an increase in attendance and ratings, and then the star child is acting like an idiot.
And we needed a star child. Like, I know, it was good that he was going to be the star child, but yeah, he's, yeah.
Doesn't look like the guy right now. And ignoring it and hoping it go away is how I've treated some medical issues in my life. And take it from me, it doesn't work.
Same. I've treated that financially too, and it doesn't work either.
So it's not going to go away. Face it head on and quit just sticking your head in the sand. Now, the preseason is about a month away. We're only going to be watching two games on TSN, Sheldon. But what can you do about that? I saw that announcement. The CFL draft is coming up April 30th. We will have a preview show before the draft and a recap show after the draft. That's our check-in with you this time for the CFL offseason. Yeet, Sheldon Jones. Me, Travis Kura. Have yourself a fantastic weekend and week leading up to the draft. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.